Adam Alexander, the voice of the O'Reilly Auto Parts series on the CW, joins us along with Kim Coon from NBC on this media edition of Fast Talk.
Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network is brought to you by Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo racing information, visit TGRNA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco helps your car reach peak performance. Now, here's the host of Fast Talk, Doug Rice.
Welcome to Fast Talk. On this edition, got a couple of great guests lined up for you. First up, Adam Alexander. Adam is the anchor on television on the CW for the now O'Reilly Auto Parts series. And Kim Coon is a veteran pit reporter working a lot with NBC and a couple of other networks. Was a longtime voice on the Motor Racing Network. And we'll chat with Kim about her career and some of the challenges she's faced along the way. First off, I do want to address the very large pachyderm in the room, and that, of course, is the fact that NASCAR has settled the antitrust suit. It looks like the plaintiffs in this case, 2311 Racing and Front Row Motorsports, probably came out ahead, although there was no declared winner or loser. It was a settlement. But the race teams received three of the four pillars of confirmation that they wanted at the end of the day. Feels like a little bit of a win. I think the big winner here is everybody involved in the sport of NASCAR. Now we can move away from the courtroom and back to the racetrack. And I think that will make pretty much everyone happy. Now attention will focus to what's the new format going to be? How are we going to decide a champion in 2026? At the point that we're recording this show, I have no idea. And I have a feeling NASCAR will probably wait, stretch that out till we get into the new year. Let's get past all the lawsuit and the antitrust chatter and move on into some new ground and then drop whatever the new format's going to be. There is a lot of division on what people want. It seems like the most strident group, meaning the ones that are most attracted in their position of playoffs, are a 36-race schedule playoff. No playoffs. 36 regular season, and you finish it up, and that's how it's done. That seems to be the group that is talking the loudest. And then there are subsequent groups in between that are looking for a modified chase format. There's that rare bird that actually likes the playoffs like they have been lately. That seems to be the minority. I don't think we will see that. We will not see a winner-take-all segment at the end of the year like we have. And of course, they've already moved the location. It won't be back in Phoenix. It'll be at Miami Homestead. That's going to be the point of conversation between now and whenever NASCAR makes the announcement. But thankfully, we have moved past the lawsuit era. I think that's healthy and good for all parts concerned. Coming up on this show, as I said, Adam Alexander, a longtime veteran broadcaster who finally got his shot this year. He was able to anchor a lot of cup shows. He was the entire voice for what was then the Xfinity series as far as the anchor desk. Well deserved on Adam Alexander. For Kim Coon, Kim was a radio person, started her career as a Miss Sprint Cup. And you'll also find out on the journey as we chat with Kim, she has two master's degrees, one from Miami and one from Alabama. So her allegiance may be a little bit split when we get into the college football playoffs. All of that and more. Adam Alexander is up next on this edition of Fast Talk.
Listen up, fellow timeshare owners. If you're a timeshare owner and you want out at all costs, you're done, frustrated, tired of wasting money, you don't use the darn thing. Get out now. Hire the best bulldog timeshare cancellation team in the business. Their in-house legal team, headed by a timeshare cancellation lawyer, can help you fight the biggest and baddest companies out there that sell timeshare. At some point, you were using your timeshare, but now you're not, and you're tired of wasting money. Before you go to the poorhouse, call right now and learn how you can save fees and put more money back in your pocket. Their services cost you a lot less than you think, and you'll save a lot of money over time. Call the Timeshare Exit Hotline now. It's a free consultation.
800-890-5957. 800-890-5957. 800-890-5957. That's 800-890-5957.
This is Ryan Preece, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hey. It's hard to believe in this day and age in the United States of America that children are hungry.
Our time on this planet is short. We have to give back to those in need.
Every child has a chance, no matter what obstacles they may encounter.
Never have we been taxed more as a society to help kids the way we are right now.
At Speedway Children's Charities,
our mission is simple. Help every child we can.
Because all children
deserve joy
and hope
and love.
I'm PRN's Doug Turnbull, co-host of the Five to Go podcast, a weekly deep dive into five motorsports issues. Devin Kupka gives the Gen Z view.
One thing that I've never seen before, when the cars got four wide, everybody stood up cheering.
And championship winning mechanic Dan Elliott leans on his decades in the garage and promoting.
Unless everybody is aware of the rules, then no, it's not fair for everyone.
Listen to the Five to Go podcast on GoPRN.com and subscribe on Apple and Spotify.
Welcome back to our special media edition of Fast Talk. I'm Doug Rice, and we have talked with a lot of luminaries from the NASCAR media world. And today I am thrilled to have a guy that I have known for quite some time who was maybe the busiest person in television this year. And we're talking about Adam Alexander. Adam, of course, anchored the NASCAR Cup Series coverage on TNT and was there every week covering what was then called the Xfinity Series. So, Adam, thanks so much for being with us. We appreciate you.
You got it. Always great to be with you, Doug.
So, Adam, how was it covering an entire series for every race on the CW that you had for the Xfinity Series? What was the familiarity like in knowing, okay, I pretty much know all the players every week when we go to bat?
It was definitely unique. I will say that I felt very prepared because I always feel like you're at an advantage when you start coverage and you do a partial season. If you start your run at the beginning of the campaign, and that's what I've done, you know, for the last 10 years, or I had done the last 10 years working for Fox, because we would always start the year with those first 14 races in the Xfinity Series. And that was always just really a good way to begin. You get in the garage at Daytona and you're off and running. And so that was always a really good perspective for me and a nice setup to cover in the full year. And so, you know, when you do it week in and week out, it's hard to not get in the middle of it and just not be repetitive. It gets difficult to find new stories. But I will say that the one thing we were blessed with, I felt like in 2025, is the storylines were plentiful. And one guy that really carried the ball for us is Connor Zilich. I mean, he had such a remarkable year, obviously didn't finish it off with a championship. But when you have that foundation, it makes that job a lot easier. And it was year one with CW, and that was great too. It just really provided a lot of energy because of the newness there. So across the board, we really enjoyed ourselves.
Well, I was going to ask, when you talked about the repetitive nature, did you sometimes have to challenge yourself to find new things to say about Connor Zilich, especially at the road courses when he's just spanking the field?
Well, you know as well as I do, when you're doing play-by-play, you want each driver's victories to be unique from our side of it. Not to make it about us, but you want to live up to the expectation of the sport in the moment when you call someone to victory lane. Well, when a guy wins 10 times, it's like, how in the world am I going to vary this from last week? I mean, he had a win streak of 3 races. He had a win streak of 4 races. And, you know, there's only so many ways you can say a guy is red hot. And so that in and of itself, you know, was somewhat challenging. Just how do you continue to, you know, put new and ice the cake on a guy that has done it over and over and over? But that was a good problem to have, because I thought Connor always handled himself with great grace, you know, when he was able to find his way to victory lane. And as you know, it's much easier to cover guys that appreciate where they are. And Connor always did that. And so that was good for us.
I do want to talk about Connor Zilich a little bit later on, but I'm kind of a broadcast nerd, so I have a few more questions in that vein. You've been doing this for quite some time. You mentioned a 10-year window, and I've known you've been around this for a lot longer. Do you still challenge yourself? Do you go back and watch tape and go, you know, that was good, but I could do X instead of Y?
Well, I do. And I think that's important for all broadcasters, because if you don't self-evaluate, in my opinion, especially when you're doing it as much as I was in 2025, that's where you fall into traps and you start creating bad habits and you're doing things that you really don't want to do. And if you're not watching, you know, you just can't, you know, stay away from some of those bad habits. And I really started that when I was doing Race Hub and you were doing shows every day and you had all that repetition. That's where you easily fall into those traps when you're doing the same thing over and over. And so I've always felt like that the best way to prepare for next week is to be really good and familiar with what just happened. And it's amazing to me. I get so deep in it calling a race that there are little things that happen within the race that maybe, you know, you wouldn't recall going to the next week unless you went back and you watched it. And so I would, my viewing was twofold. I would go back and watch what I did, not only to evaluate what I was doing, but also as a part of the homework process for the next week, you know, the next week's race. And then I would say, too, what I really like to do is this time of year, just go back and cherry pick a race from, you know, March or July and watch that. Because to me, even though I think it's important to watch right away because of the reasons I just laid out there, I also think that's not a great way to gain perspective because you're still emotionally involved and so familiar with what's just happened. If you can get 4, 5, 6, 8 months removed from a race, go back and watch it, you can really, really appreciate the good and maybe not grade so hard on the bad. And it gives you, to me, a much better perspective on your work. So my watching back of old work and my work is really twofold in the way I do that and why I do that.
So this year we saw something new in the NASCAR world with Amazon Prime being the first major streaming partner. You were a vital part of that. And I did a little bit of surfing on the web before I talked to you. And here's the great thing. It was universal praise. Even in the column called Awful Announcers, Adam Alexander, Dale Earnhardt Jr., and Steve Letarte, the best trio ever. So where did all of this, in a world that we love to beat things up, Adam, where did all this love come from for what you guys were doing on Prime?
You know, it's so funny, Doug, because, I mean, you're a sports fan. I'm a sports fan. I watch so many events on TV and all sports. I mean, it's motorsports, but I'm a big football guy. I really enjoy college basketball. And I'll watch other sports too, even if I'm not necessarily a big fan of that particular sport. I just watch it to maybe get some ideas from a TV and a broadcasting perspective. And I feel like at times some of the bells and whistles that we have in our TV world have overshadowed the fundamentals of covering the event. And we all kind of have fallen into that trap at times. And I really felt like, you know, our Amazon Prime coverage, the Prime Video 5 weeks, really did a good job of balancing this new technology, because Prime really hangs their hat on that, versus this old school mentality of a way to present the broadcast. And to me, it just all came together. And I would be remiss. I mean, we love a shiny new penny. That's true with everything. And, yeah, you know, it was new. And I'm sure we benefited from that in the eyes of those that watched at home. But I do feel like that we had a really good, you know, Dale Jr.'s an old school guy. And Dale goes back and watches races from the 70s and 80s. And, you know, that's a big part of who he is and what he wants to be. And I appreciate that, because I like that era broadcasting, because I feel like that really captures the fundamentals of who we want to be. And then you partner that with all that technology that Prime brought, and I feel like it just hit the sweet spot. And, you know, we'll see if we can repeat that. It's always hard to keep everybody feeling good about what you're doing, but we just landed in a really good place. And our chemistry and our relationship in the booth was something I was real happy about. It was just a great time. We had a lot of fun. There's no doubt about that.
Adam, it felt to me, and I'm just a guy sitting on the couch at home watching, It felt to me comfortable, like getting in the Wayback Machine and going back to ESPN of Benny Parsons and Bob Jenkins and Ned Jarrett, who I always felt like just were there at the race and they were sitting in the living room with me and telling me what was going on, that there was something very familiar about it without it being broadcasting.
Yeah, you know what's funny about that, Doug? I feel like I grew as much as a broadcaster in those years that I was at Fox doing the Xfinity series, and we were bringing up different analysts every week from the Cup Garage. And when that idea was presented to me by Eric Shanks at Fox, I just thought that was the craziest thing I'd ever heard. You know, TV is all about meetings and prep and all of that, and we didn't do any of that. I mean, these Cup drivers would show up in the booth right after qualifying on a Saturday, and we'd say, hey, we're going to talk about this guy in the open and this guy and this stat line, and then we're going to race. But what that did is it forced me to just be a conversationalist, and it kind of created this atmosphere of we're just three guys watching TV and reacting. And that's kind of who I became as a broadcaster and a host and a play-by-play guy. And I talked about those habits you create. That just was really my identity, I felt like. And so now I'm working with two guys I've really never worked with, and Dale Jr. and Steve Letarte. I just brought that same attitude and mentality. And when Steve is brilliant. He's just got this amazing mind. And Dale Jr. is one of the most unique broadcasters around, I would say, in any sport. And I just knew that my job is to kind of set up and stay out of the way and you know, just add a little personality here and there and have some fun. And, you know, it all matched up. But I really think I changed as a broadcaster when I was working with different people every week. And that's just kind of become who I am and what I hang my hat on.
And you guys made that work. I'll admit there were times that I would watch the Xfinity races where you had this It seemed like endless stream of different people coming through. One week it was Logano, and then it was Kevin Harvick. And then I think you even did a couple of shows with Suarez, didn't you?
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, they may be pushing it too far. And Daniel, because his English, he was still working on it. After two or three minutes, I went like, this is really good. He's excited to be there. And it always worked on all levels. And I even at the time I was thinking, this has got to be a little bit of a challenge because, as you said, no rehearsal, no prep. Let's go.
Well, and here's what I would say. That whole operation worked because of, number one, the talent and the ability to articulate the sport by all those guys that come up from the Cup Garage. They were all outstanding, and we know who they are because we deal with them all the time from a media perspective. But the other thing I would say, and this was the best part and the most rewarding part about all of that, is how respectful they were when they came to the TV side. They never, ever came up there like, I'm a Cup champion and I'm going to tell you everything you need to know. They very much came in with humility and grace and how do we do this? And the respect that they showed, not just me, but everybody involved in the process was really, really neat to watch. And to get to spend that time with them, it just developed relationships that I never could have imagined I would have with those athletes at that level. So, you know, across the board, it was really, really neat to be a part of. But I give, you know, so much credit to the attitude that all those Cup drivers brought to the booth each and every week.
We're chatting with Adam Alexander. Adam, one of the busiest guys in the television landscape with the work that he does for the CW, TNT, and Amazon Prime. We'll be right back and continue our conversation after this.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal, so it's easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name, Z-Max, for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
In addition to traditional summer camp, Victory Junction also hosts family weekends, partner programs, and day camps. And the Victory Junction Outreach Program takes camp fun beyond our gates to children at hospitals and partner sites throughout North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia. Victory Junction makes the impossible accessible.
This is a place that needs to be here 50 years from now, 100 years from now. We are never going to run out of kids that can benefit from Victory Junction.
Discover how you can get involved at victoryjunction.org.
This is Daniel Suarez, and you're listening to the PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, this is Brett McMillan. Join me each week for the True Reporters Roundtable, known as the Pit Reporters.
This is not what we're used to and accustomed to seeing. That, I think, with a backdrop, is why a lot of fans are a bit sour on Denny.
He still wants to play that role that now Denny has taken on, but him and the A-car haven't had the same success. You can't be the villain, and it doesn't really work as well if you're not winning. And Denny Hamlin is doing just that.
Check us out each week on the Performance Racing Network.
Did you know that 9 out of 10 Americans are sick of the divisions in our country? But there's one small step we can take to remember that we're still connected. All over America, strangers with different political views are coming together to talk about their lives, not politics, and discovering they actually have a lot in common. Because even if we don't see eye to eye, we can still talk heart to heart. So let's talk for a change. Learn more at takeonesmallstep.org.
Continuing our conversation here with Adam Alexander. Adam, the year offered up some surprises on the Xfinity side. The guy that dominated it did not go on to win the championship. And now we have all this discussion about what we might see as a new format. But my feeling on that, and I kind of want to get your take, is everybody knew the rules going in.
Yeah, and I had no problems with how that played out. I felt like when you look at the truck series, it would have been hard to look the other way if Heim had not won the title just because of where he fit in with the other drivers that were there. And when I say there, I'm talking about those that were in Phoenix running for the championship. If Lane Riggs had made it to Phoenix, when you look at what he had done throughout the year, I wouldn't have been uncomfortable with him being the champion because I felt like he had done a lot of things in 2025 to put himself, you know, in position. But when you look at the Xfinity side of it, you know, Jesse Love went out and won the race. He did exactly what he needed to do throughout 2025 to get into that position, to be a part of the championship four. And then, you know, he's able to pass Connor late in the race and he goes on, wins the race and he wins the title. I had no problems with that. I mean, as you said, it was laid in front of them. This is how we're going to decide a champion. And he was able to pull it off. And, you know, going into that weekend too, you look at Justin Allgaier, he's the reigning champ. Justin had won multiple races. He had been there all season long and he's really good at Phoenix. So I was never one of those that was uncomfortable with where we were going to the championship weekend. I understand the case that was made when you win all those races and you're not the champion, but those are the rules. That's the way it's been for many years, and everybody knew that going in. So I felt like all that was okay the way it worked out.
A lot of pressure, I would think, or a lot of attention on Connor Zilich coming in, racing for Trackhouse this year on the Cup Series. What is Adam Alexander's level of expectation for him this year? This year,
I would expect that he's going to be in the hunt to win some races on road courses, and my baseline on that is looking at what he was able to do in a fourth car for them in 2025 when he made limited starts. And, you know, he had limited experience and he's balancing, you know, the Saturday race and the Sunday race. And now he can put a lot more focus into Sunday. And that's where his primary, focus will be. I would say that he's going to have a real opportunity. And I base that off of how competitive he was in going toe-to-toe with Shane Van Gisbergen in Saturday races in equal equipment because they were both driving for Junior Motorsports. And what Shane has been able to do, as we know, dominated those road course races at the Cup level. So I do feel like there's going to be a real opportunity for Connor to go out and make some noise. And I would say, too, you know, we saw how Shane grew on the ovals. And I really feel like that Connor is someone, even though he's got a road racing background, has proven that he can deliver on the ovals. And we saw it in the Coke 600. They were really, really good. And that was his first weekend back from the back injury. And he really ran well in that race in 2025, you know, earlier this year. So I feel like that he's going to come out and make some noise. Will he win a race and, you know, get into the playoffs if that's our format and all that? I don't know. That's a strong statement to make for a 19-year-old kid. But I do believe he's going to be in the hunt more than once.
Adam, one of the questions that I've asked most of the folks that have been on these media shows is, do you think right now in the NASCAR world we have a transitional personality? And by that, I mean, do we have a Jeff Gordon, Tony Stewart, Dale Earnhardt Jr. type driver, or somebody that can develop into that, that gets to be known outside of the NASCAR world, that could go on a Saturday night or the talk show circuit, or be known outside of the people that watch them on television and buy tickets to the racetrack?
That's a great question. And it's so hard to put anybody up against, you know, those that have come before us, and we now can reflect and we know what they've meant to the history of the sport. And I do think that NASCAR is in a different place now than it was then. And so how you measure that, you know, I'm not sure, but I would say that, and I know this only based on the feedback that I got, which is a really, really small sample size. But I would say when you look at Connor Zilich and the impact that he made on motorsports across the board in 2025 with his success in the Xfinity Series and the way he handled that, you know, you look at his social media, he's a funny guy. He's self-deprecating. He's humble, but yet, you know, he's got a swagger to him. I'm not trying to paint him into that, but I would say right now, when you look at the landscape of the sport and people who have a really long runway to go out there and make a difference, I feel like Connor is someone that you could label as a possibility. I'm not here to suggest or predict that he's going to be that guy, but I do think he checks a lot of boxes of what we want and what we need. And I think he's going to do some racing probably two other places that will get him some visibility, you know, on a more global stage that will help, you know, accomplish something like that. So we'll see where it goes, but he's someone that I have a lot of faith in, both on and off the racetrack, and what he can do to help grow motorsports.
And the other part of that, outside of having personality, which is key, you got to win. If you can win, I look at Ross Chastain, big personality, likable, doesn't win enough yet. You got to win more than one a year to get in that. All right. Speaking of winning, you said you're a fan of a lot of other sports. As we're recording this, we have yet to have the first college football playoff game. Who's going to be playing in that championship game? Who do you like?
Well, that's a great question. I really think that Ohio State is a good football team. And I know that they lost to Indiana in the Big Ten championship, but they still got a bye. And you know what? They were coming off an emotional victory against Michigan. And you know, the comparisons are out there from last year to this year. So I look at them and I do think they, you know, are a dangerous and a capable football team. And I'll tell you, you know, Indiana's really good. Oregon is really good. I mean, those teams out of the Big Ten are pretty solid. And then, you know, I think Oklahoma's a little bit of a sleeper. And I think Texas Tech is good defensively. But if I had to pick right now, I might say Oregon and Ohio State. I think based on the bracket, that matchup is possible. So I would probably say Oregon and Ohio State will be playing for the national championship.
Do you ever wonder what kind of world we're living in when you and I are sitting here talking about the Indiana Hoosiers being the number one seed in the college football playoffs?
Well, I got to tell you, Doug, I grew up in Indiana.
Yeah, I know.
And, you know, my dad went to Purdue. My wife graduated from Purdue. My brother-in-law, my father-in-law. I mean, we just got a long history of Purdue. And, you know, if you're a Purdue fan, your second favorite team is whoever is playing Indiana.
Yeah.
And so, You know, it's hard to not support this story, which is so feel good because it's just improbable. And we love improbable in sports. And the Mendoza story is remarkable. It really is. I mean, when you think about his mom's health situation, and he's just a likable guy. So anyway, I don't want to dismiss their chances because I think Cignetti's done a remarkable job. I thought their performance in the Big Ten Championship and their preparation, I mean, I really think they're just an outstanding football team. And there's no explaining how they got here other than that they earned it. You know, there was no easy passes. So anyway, we'll see how it plays out. But I think the Big Ten has been pretty good, and we'll see if they can, you know, do it in the playoff.
Adam, always a pleasure to chat with you. You and your family have a wonderful Christmas, New Year's, holiday season, and thanks a lot for the chatting. You'll be back to work before you know it.
No doubt. Merry Christmas to you and everyone, Doug, and Happy New Year. We look forward to 2026, and always good to be with you.
Listen, were you forced into getting a solar contract and now you just don't want it anymore? Maybe the solar company misled you. Or is your solar contract buried with hidden fees? Are you not saving the amount of money you thought you would on your energy costs? Don't worry. At the Solar Exit Hotline, we can help you cancel your solar contract, even if the panels are already installed. Our experienced legal team will review your contract and help you cancel it, possibly saving you thousands of dollars. You got to call right now for complete details. So listen, if you're not happy with your solar contract for any reason, we are here to help you cancel it. Call the Solar Exit Hotline now for immediate options to help you exit your solar contract. This call is 100% free.
800-471-3491. 800-471-3491. 800-471-3491. That's 800-471-3491.
This is Chase Briscoe, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, I'm PRN's Alexis Eric. Want to listen to PRN anywhere you go? By downloading the PRN mobile app, you can listen to live race broadcasts and have on-demand access to your favorite shows like Fast Talk, Pit Reporters, Garage Pass, and PRN's At the Track. Download today to make sure you don't miss any of the action. Get the latest racing information at your fingertips with the PRN mobile app, available on Apple App Store and Google Play. Find more information at goprn.com.
In Iraq, our truck hit a roadside bomb. I had about 16 surgeries on my hand so that I could regain function. And when I came home, I needed a new roof due to a storm. And I was about to lose homeowners insurance as well. I applied for Operation Homefront Critical Financial Assistance Program. And it's good to know that when we come home, there are people who are there that care about us. Operation Homefront, they've really been a blessing.
Welcome back to Fast Talk. And during the off season, we have had the privilege of talking with a lot of different folks from the NASCAR media world. And I'm thrilled to have the next person on, somebody I've had the pleasure of knowing for quite some time now. And that is Kim Coon. Kim, as of late, has been seen a lot on NBC in the pit reporter's role. Before that, she was a prominent voice on the Motor Racing Network. And she shows up on your TV elsewhere occasionally. So, Kim, thanks so much for making some time to come on Fast Talk with us.
I will always make time for you, Doug. I love seeing you.
Well, it's fun. It's nice to be during the off season. Have you caught your breath? Have you slowed down a little bit since we got Phoenix passed?
I have. I've taken a couple of just personal trips. Went to visit my grandma to New York City with my sister to take in all the holiday stuff, but. I'm trying to remind myself that I'm allowed to be a little bit lazy and not run myself ragged so that I can recharge my battery for 2026. But sometimes it's hard. Sometimes during the day I'm like, man, I wish I was at the racetrack, or I wish I was doing this or that. But again, I have to constantly remind myself, no, this is what the off season is for, so that you can recoup and recharge for next year.
So how was NYC? I always love going up there at banquet time when the Big Apple's decked out for Christmas.
Oh man, during Christmas is one of my favorite times to be in the city because all the luxury stores have their windows decorated beautifully. Obviously there's multiple trees throughout the city and tree lightings. We went and saw the Rockettes. It's their centennial, so their 100 year anniversary, and I had never been to their Christmas special. Obviously I have a dance background, so that was really fun to see. And everybody's out shopping and doing like family things and holiday things. And I can't think of a better way to just like jump straight into the holiday season than go take in all New York has to have, like the last weekend slash in November slash first weekend in December.
I would highly recommend it. Even for people that say, I don't care about going to a big city. You owe it to yourself once in your life to go visit Manhattan, to get into downtown, to see Times Square and Rockefeller Center and all of that, because there is a magnificence to it. Even if it's not your thing, it's pretty cool.
Oh, so cool. Just the energy of the city and the vibrance, even not during the holidays. And it's so easy to get around. I don't know. I like taking the subway. It makes me feel like a true city goer. And then like, you have really anything at your disposal. Like you walk a block and you've got restaurants and shops and coffee places and I don't know how you would have a shortage of anything you could be looking for in the city.
The biggest lesson I learned my first trip to New York was you never stop on the sidewalk.
Oh, no, no. I was going to say, so I went with my younger sister and I've probably been to New York 24 times. It was probably the best trip I think I've ever taken there, but she's been a couple times, but she was navigating and doing things on her phone, like pretty with regularity and would stop in the middle of the sidewalk. And I would have to like, drag her jacket over and pull her to like up against the buildings. And so she wasn't just smack in the middle of the sidewalk, but that is true New York etiquette. You cannot stop in the middle of the sidewalk.
Cause you will get run over. It's not if. You will get run over. So what is your schedule in the NASCAR media world look like in 2026, Kim?
A lot of what you saw me doing in 2025. So I will be back both with Amazon Prime and NBC doing Cup coverage, which I'm thrilled about, especially because we have that San Diego race on the Prime schedule. And I know they're scouting out the location as we speak. So that's going to be really exciting. I also am going to be back with what is now the O'Reilly Auto Parts series for the full schedule, just like I was in 2025. Very excited to welcome in a new title sponsor. And it's really an expansion of what we've seen them do in the sport. Just they've dabbled their feet, as you know. So it's great to see them as a title sponsor for a place where names are made. I loved covering the entire series this year. It's the first time I've ever covered a full series from start to finish without missing a race. And I enjoyed it even more than I thought I would. And then some other things here and there with NASCAR and then outside of the racing world too, things will pop up.
So the lead in to your conversation on this edition of Fast Talk was with Adam Alexander, whom I adore, by the way. I don't mind saying that. I just think he's...
I think we all do.
I think he's such a good person on top of being an excellent broadcaster. And I asked him about how was it covering a series from start to finish? How did the familiarity work for you, Kim?
It was an advantage, honestly, because, you know, in past years, especially on the radio side of things, you'll go multiple weeks at the track and then multiple weeks you'll be off, just the nature of the schedule. And so when you're away from the track, even for 1 week, you kind of feel like you're missing out or you're not getting the same stories. And it doesn't matter if you're paying attention to social media or watching coverage on TV, like it's very different trying to keep up with the sport and things that are happening in the garage when you're not on site. So it made all of that a little bit more seamless. What I will say, it was challenging in the sense of covering one series from start to finish, every race, you have to get creative in the type of questions you ask, how you ask questions, just how you approach coverage, knowing that you're covering the same teams and series each week, and you need to make it sound fresh and exciting and have the same energy, you know, the second half of the season as you do the first half of the season. But I welcome that challenge. I thought it was very different than any year I've worked in NASCAR before. And it was challenging in a good way.
So, and I asked Adam this earlier, so I'll repeat it for you. In that same breath, it's challenging. I'm covering the same teams, there was one constant throughout all of this, and that was Connor Zilich.
Yeah.
He won, or he led the most laps, or he was the most outstanding guy. Was that a special challenge to keep your Kim Kuhn interaction with Connor Zilich kind of fresh?
I want to say yes and no. It was challenging just in the sense of, especially because he was winning so much and he won so many polls too, that every time you interviewed him, you kind of had to have a different angle of what you were going to ask just so it didn't feel repetitive. But he's such a dynamic personality that it also never really got stale thanks to him and just the vibrance he brings to the sport in general. And he's young and he's enthusiastic. And regardless of the success he's had, he still is very humble. I'm kind of sad that we're losing him in the O'Reilly Auto Parts series, but excited to be covering him on the Cup side of things. But I think he just elevated the entire series, which was really fun.
What's his upside? How big is his ceiling?
Oh gosh, I don't know that he has a ceiling, to be honest. You know, you talked to him and he has goals in the NASCAR sphere, which he's already clicked off a number of them. And obviously the next kind of crusade for him is the Cup Series and what he can do there. And I'll be curious to see, because this Cup Series is very different than the O'Reilly Auto Parts Series in the sense that like the race lengths are double, the schedule is longer, the competition is stiffer. So I'm curious to see how quickly he acclimates, or if it's going to be what we typically see is we don't always see rookies come out of the gate and just swing for the fences because of that learning curve. So I'm excited to see that. But then if you talk to him, he has goals in the broad motorsports world. Like I wouldn't be surprised if one day we see him do the double and he's running the Indy 500 and the Coca-Cola 600. Like I think the sky is the limit. I don't even know if there's a limit. And just to see too, how he handles challenges. I think he did it with such grace this year and he had multiple challenges ahead of him. Again, I think he handled them with a maturity that a 19-year-old should not have.
So sticking in the O'Reilly Auto Parts Series, that's going to take me a while.
I know, I got to like think about it.
It doesn't just roll off the tongue just yet. Are there a couple of people that haven't made their mark yet that Kim Kuhn thinks, okay, 2026, maybe not replicating what Connor Zilich did, that'd be asking too much, but are going to make an impact next year?
I am really, really excited to see what Raja Karuth is able to do. And obviously it's been announced that he's pieced together a full-time schedule. So he will be running for a championship. So we'll see him part-time in that JRM car, which is, I think is really where he's going to shine. And just knowing the level of competition that JRM brings to the track, I think if you don't succeed in one of their cars, then you need to really take a step back and consider, is this the sport for me? And so I'm really, really excited to see how he flourishes there and how they bring out his personality, because we're so lucky to have him in the O'Reilly Parts Artist Series this year because he is so interesting. Like he has so many fun interests. He's young. His kind of ascent to this sport was unique in the sense that we haven't seen a lot of iRacers, obviously William Byron and a few others, but I just think he brings some unique things to the sport and to this series that I'm excited to see how they take off even bigger this coming year.
That is an interesting path. I also think that might be the path for the next round of announcers, because you've got all these people calling races and they have the benefit that when they're doing it, they're calling them at Charlotte or Darlington or Talladega and they're not out at Oswego Speedway.
Yeah. Oh, I would have loved to have had the opportunity to kind of dip my feet in the iRacing waters before just being launched in person at track. I think it is absolutely a great path. I don't think it's going to be long before we see people making the jump to real life broadcast. Well, I say real life. I mean, iRacing is real life in the sense that you're actually doing it. But I'm like in person at track doing, you know, the pit reporting and the booth work. There is no doubt in my mind that we'll see personalities from that side of things jump over to the real world.
No, I think you can book it. We're chatting with Kim Kuhn. We'll continue our conversation right after this.
We work hard to keep our cars looking great on the outside, but engine components need our attention too. That's where you can trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant to disperse carbon buildup in your engine and fuel system to keep your car or truck running at its peak. By soaking into the metal of your engine, Z-Max Micro Lubricant improves performance, extends engine life, and reduces emissions.
Trust the many customers who've said, "Thanks for saving my engine." Find out more at ZMAX.com or follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
This is the kind of racing you can feel in your chest. Door to door, inches apart, every lap all on the line. This is Echo Park Speedway, the hottest track in NASCAR. 3 days of tailgates, camping, and full throttle fun. But Sunday is chaos, speed, and glory. This February 22nd, the Auto Trader 400 takes over Atlanta. Get tickets at EchoParkSpeedway.com.
This is Ross Chastain, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
This is the kind of racing you can feel in your chest. Door to door, inches apart, every lap all on the line. This is Echo Park Speedway, the hottest track in NASCAR. 3 days of tailgates, camping, and full throttle fun. But Sunday is chaos, speed, and glory. This February 22nd, the Auto Trader 400 takes over Atlanta. Get tickets at EchoParkSpeedway.com.
In addition to traditional summer camp, Victory Junction also hosts family weekends, partner programs, and day camps. And the Victory Junction Outreach Program takes camp fun beyond our gates to children at hospitals and partner sites throughout North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia. Victory Junction makes the impossible accessible.
This is a place that needs to be here 50 years from now, 100 years from now. We are never going to run out of kids that can benefit from Victory Junction.
Discover how you can get involved at victoryjunction.org.
Welcome back to Fast Talk, as we're talking with Kim Coon, who wears a multitude of hats during the racing season. And Kim, how do you personally balance all that when you're doing every, what is now the O'Reilly Auto Parts Series, plus a huge swath of the NASCAR Cup Series through Prime and NBC? Logistically, how do you do that? I mean, that sounds like a lot of airports.
It is a lot of airports. I like to tell people, though, it doesn't seem like that unusual of a schedule or a career to me, because I grew up and my father was a commercial airline pilot. So it was very normal that his work travel was, he was a few days on the road, a few days home, a few days on the road. And so that in itself is second nature to me. Like, I don't even think twice about the amount of travel and being away from home for a number of days. And then the other thing I try and do, which I tell people if they've never tackled, you know, a schedule where they're traveling even like 15 or 20 weeks in the year, let alone almost 40, is that I try and do something each race weekend that is vacation-esque, whether that's like get a really nice dinner, or if I have friends that are in the city I'm visiting, catching up with them over drinks, or if I have a little bit more free time, maybe it's only a cup weekend, go to a museum or like a nature walk, just doing something, one thing a weekend that kind of transports me away from work mode and makes it feel like a vacation. And I think that's made the grind of the NASCAR schedule way more manageable.
So what cities do you go to that you find the most opportunity to get away from the racetrack and see something fresh?
Ooh, good question. This always surprises people. Birmingham is where we stay for the Talladega race, and people would be shocked at the amount of things to do in Birmingham. It is a secret foodie city. I have like over a dozen restaurants I can recommend to people that will be some of the best meals you've ever had. And then there's hiking like right on the city limits. Now, it's not super tough hiking, but hiking, they've got a great art museum. So I love Birmingham as kind of a spot to find things to do away from the racetrack. And then I also really love Watkins Glen. There's just so much to do. I'm curious to see what the weather's like, because it's earlier in the year than we've ever seen it before. It might be a little bit chilly, but there's tons of hiking. There's the Corning Glass Museum, the Finger Lakes, the drive, regardless of where you're staying up there to the track, is beautiful. So it's another on my list where it's really easy for me to find things to do away from the track.
Maybe my favorite stop, because yeah, I did a handful of events there, and it's just gorgeous. And Birmingham, I'm intrigued by, because I may be going down there because Appalachian State backed into the Birmingham Bowl this year. I did not know there was such a thing. So nobody else wanted to play in it. So App got literally got invited to it. But I'll take it. My school's playing. So let's while we're in the football world, a lot of folks don't know this. You have a double master's degree, one from the University of Alabama and one from Miami.
Yes.
Both of those schools are in the college football playoffs.
Where does
Kim Coon's allegiance fall in the football world?
I have to go with Miami because I spent more time there. That's where I did my undergrad work. And I also cheered while I was there. So that just is kind of like rooted a little bit deeper in my fanhood. Miami is, I do still cheer for Alabama, but Miami is where my heart is. And what a controversy it was that Miami got a spot in the college football playoffs. Cause I know it was a whole thing. Like, should Notre Dame be in? But we slid in there. So I'm excited. And they play Texas A&M. So one of my best friends went there to Texas A&M. So we have a little fun rivalry. And that game, that first round game against Texas A&M for Miami is on my birthday. So
fantastic. Well, almost unfair that you have two really good football schools to pull for. This is it's not nice. That's not fair at all.
Yeah. And Miami's finally, I mean, we have a obviously historically good football team, but it's been a minute. It's been a couple decades since Miami's been really a powerhouse. So it was nice to see them finally rise to the occasion this year. Although we had a loss or two that I was scratching my head at. So.
All right. So are you at the point now, you've been on television for a good while, and each year it seems like you get more and more exposure. And especially now that you're doing a big share of cup shows. Mm-hmm. Is some of that celebrity starting to show up in your everyday life? Can you be in the Lowe's supermarket and somebody come up and go, how do I know you? Is that happening yet?
Here and there, but not with regularity, but it does happen occasionally, like in the grocery store, or like the most random one, which I never would have guessed this, is my family and I took a trip to London last year. And we were, I forget what kind of museum or castle we were at. And we were like exiting, and I like made eye contact with this guy, and he had like a Chase Elliott 9 shirt on. And then I just walked away, and then he came up, like, I think he realized, cause I looked at him and I like, and then he saw me look at his shirt, and I didn't really say anything. And I walked away, and then he came up after we had exited, and he said, are you Kim? So it was very funny for my, but that is like rare. And especially for it to happen outside of the U.S., but my family got the biggest kick out of it. They thought it was hilarious that somebody recognized me overseas, like not even in the United States.
3,000 miles from home and you get recognized. That's pretty nice, Kim. I got to give a head nod to that. You interview a lot of people. It's your primary job when you're on pit road. Are there one or two, let's go back into the cup garage, folks that you really look forward to putting a microphone in front of, knowing that I'm going to get something fresh. This will be good.
Honestly, it's situational.
Mm-hmm.
I get more excited about situations than I do specific people. So I love a challenge, and I've been put in a lot of challenging situations where I've had to interview drivers that are usually not happy. So it's more circumstantial, like the challenge of asking the right question when it's a tough scenario. So regardless of what that driver is or isn't going to say, I more look forward to, all right, figuring out in those quick moments, quick thinking, like, what am I going to ask this person outside the care center when they've had a run in with so-and-so, or, you know, after the race where it's been a close race and they've been on the losing side. So, I look more forward to that than a specific person. Cause you can get like, you'll get different drivers in different moods, and sometimes you'll get something great, and sometimes they won't be in the mood to play along. So it's less driver dependent than it is like situation dependent. Like, it was so fun interviewing, and it was the first and only time I've gotten to do the cup burnout at Michigan when Hamlin won. And it was just like electric, and he played to the audience, and he brought back the I beat your favorite driver, and it was just like just a unique moment. And so it's more the moments than it is to specific drivers.
Well, if you get him, you get some performative art to go yes. with that. You know, you're not just going to get straight up. I've always felt like, and I'm curious to get your opinion, that one of the hardest jobs for a pit reporter, whether radio or television, is just what you said. It's that moment outside the care center when they've wrecked. And what do you ask that's actually impactful outside yeah. of the obvious of what happened? And a lot of times they have no idea.
Yeah. And you have to ask what the hard questions and what the fans are going to want to know. So sometimes it might seem like an obvious question and people might wonder like, why did she ask that? But like, you have to think about it on the flip side. Like if you didn't ask that question, what would people say? And so it's always interesting hearing, you know, and I don't dip too deep into what fans think about certain questions, but some people will love a question and some people will hate it. And either way, like I know I'm doing my job and that's to get the best answer with the best question from the driver. And you also can't worry about what the driver's going to say. Like sometimes I have to ask tough questions and I'm with a driver that I know historically is not one that's going to give a good answer, but that doesn't mean I don't ask that question. Like you have to ask the question. You can't assume you know what the driver's going to say. You have to ask it whether you think they're going to give you a no comment or they're going to elaborate. Like the question matters almost more so than what the answer is. Because if you don't ask the question, you're not doing your job.
Kim, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Doug.
Hey, listen, are you a 50-year-old person looking for term life insurance? Then you need to talk to Bob. Bob specializes in helping people find $1 million or more of term life insurance for a couple of $100 a month. Look, you need to know there's a price war in the term life insurance business, and you may be paying too much. Call Bob, and he'll shop and see how much money he can save you. Look, this could be the last term life insurance policy you ever have. Your rates are guaranteed for the next 20 years. That's right, guaranteed level rates for the next 20 years. And if you're a smoker or your health is not perfect, Bob has great rates for you too. So for $1 million of term life insurance coverage for a couple of $100 a month, call Bob right now. 800-509-1741. 800-509-1741. 800-509-1741. That's 800-509-1741. Paid for by Term Direct.
I'm Chase Elliott, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Get your NASCAR fix with PRN's Garage Pass.
It's hard to just turn it around in 1 week, but I wouldn't be shocked if we did.
I don't think the results have been what we have hoped for or expected, but I think the potential in the cars and the speed has been pretty good.
You know, it's a big deal already, so that's a, you know, big positive for us. So I think now it's just about working together and getting better.
I think the Penske cars are still elite when it comes to plate racing.
Hi, I'm Mark Garrow, tracking the latest racing news every weekday.
We all play a role in keeping our community safe.
Every day, we move in and out of each other's busy lives.
It's easy to take for granted all the little moments that make up our everyday.
Some are good,
others not so much.
But that's life.
It's when something doesn't seem quite right
that it's time to pay attention.
Because only you know what's not supposed to be in your everyday.
So protect your everyday.
If you see something suspicious, say something to local authorities.
Thanks a bunch to our special guest, Adam Alexander. Always good to chat with him and Kim Kuhn for sharing their time and their experience. Everybody has a different way of getting to this. I just know for me, I felt really good about where Adam landed this year. I think he's been a great soldier in all this. It was nice to see him get some major time in the anchor booth. And I really do feel like it helped with the Xfinity series to have one single network covering it. Now, it is the O'Reilly Auto Parts series going forward, but I thought the CW did a great job with that too. Coming up on the next show, we'll continue our media interviews, and it looks like we're going to be tracking down the anchor for NBC as Lee Diffie will be dropping by right here on these special editions of Fast Talk.
Fast Talk was presented by Toyota.
For the latest Toyota Gazoo racing information, visit TGRNA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.